Welcome to the World Spire. While Feral woke to find herself in a high-end suite, courtesy of the foothold of Immorta, Tintsy stood guard next to the sleeping Zealous, unsure how long she would remain unconscious. Suddenly, Tintsy's choker, the Guardian Blink, activated, pulling her into a strange parallel plane. There, she witnessed the dreaming Zealous fighting alongside a creature pretending to be Lorelei. The pretender Lorelei returned Zealous and Tintsy to the material plane, but who or what she was remained a mystery. Chapter 10, Sanctum Impadit, Part 2.
Feral, you have been left alone in your suite.
Suite? Question mark?
Feral finds herself by herself in her suite in the foothold of Immorta's camp, which you believe you heard Father Gortok called Sanctum Impadit.
Yeah. Probably don't even need to ask this question, but my weapons are gone.
Yeah, your weapons are not in the room with you.
Okay. What else is in the room? So, like, describe the room a little bit more to me.
It really is just, like, almost like a penthouse suite, but not, like, huge, but it's very comfortable. Lots of high-end looking furniture, very well crafted. You looked out the window earlier and were able to get a lay of the camp, so you would guess that the building you're currently in is the same building that you met Father Gortok in, but just higher up.
Okay, I want to start maybe looking under the beds and under the tables and looking in drawers, that kind of thing.
Okay. You rifle through everything. You find a book in one of the drawers by the bed that seems to have
the good word.
You would assume religious text, but it's all in Dwarven, so you can't read it. But apart from that, everything, like all the drawers and so on, are more or less empty. Everything is squeaky clean. You would guess that this room is normally reserved for really high profile guests visiting the camp.
What about, any wardrobes? Anything like that?
All the drawers seem to be empty.
Is there a connecting bathroom?
There is a small room off to the side with a chamber pot, yes.
And anything else in it?
Like a wash basin, a nice mirror rimmed with gold, beautiful tiling.
Oh. Interior design seduction! Come on!
Seriously?
I really don't want to be here. I don't want to wait, but Tsutsutsu's coming?
And just as you think this, you hear a tap on the door, and the door is opened, and you see the guard letting Tsutsutsu in, and he nods to Tsutsutsu and says something in Dwarven, and Tsutsutsu waves and says, "Yes, yeah, thank you! Thank you!" And waddles into the room, and the door closes behind him, and he says, "Feral! Oh, you're okay!" He runs over and throws his arms around your legs.
I don't hug him.
He doesn't really notice.
Tsutsutsu?
Are you alright? Are you hurt?
No. Are you?
I mean, they were questioning me for a good while, but I managed to convince them that you didn't mean me any harm. I'm still telling them that I'm loyal, but I had to convince them that you didn't kidnap me. That's the assumption they were under.
Can I do a perception check on him?
Insight?
Yeah. Because he's practicing druidic magics. There's no way they wouldn't have figured that out, right? He's got stuff on him.
That's a question for him, not for me.
That's going to be 14 plus 7, so 21.
21? Yeah, okay. He looks more scared for you. He doesn't seem to bear you any ill will.
Oh, so concerned.
Susutsu, why are you here? Why haven't they hurt you?
They thought I was kidnapped. What I told them is that I accidentally tumbled after you guys, which is kind of true, actually. But I ended up following you, and then I got lost, which, again, I guess is also true. We got lost in the woods, but I bent the truth a little bit. So now I'm back where I was before I escaped with you guys. I'm here, and everyone thinks I'm a good new Immortan, but my birthday's still coming up. It's just a couple weeks away now.
Did they discover any of your druid magics?
No, thankfully no. The beast never saw me do any of it. I was worried about that.
When is your birthday?
My birthday?
Shit, let me look up what the current date is.
He's got calendars and shit going on.
Damn.
I love this world.
So you asked him when his birthday was?
Yeah, like how long until his birthday?
Well, about 2 weeks. It's on the 30th of Animus. Right now, we're the 18th of Animus.
What happens on your birthday?
Well, there's the coming of age ceremony where... Well, what happens is that we get to die by our method of choice, and then we join the next life. But you're expected to have fully embraced Immorta's teachings and be happy and willing to go. But if you're not, when you come to, you don't have your own mind anymore. You're just a soulless slave. And I think that's gonna happen to me.
Nancy is breaking.
There was a question I wanted to ask Susutsu last episode that I didn't get a chance to because so much was happening. Oh my gosh! Dots just connected. Hopefully it's actual connections. Maybe I'm speculating. Please continue the scene.
I promise they're not going to get you. They're not going to grab your soul.
You know, I was thinking, since we're both here anyway, I'm thinking that maybe we can try and figure out where the other living totem is. I still don't know what we have to do with them, but I know that they used to, back when this was the Circle of the Deep Woods, they used to give the druids incredible power. Did you have totems like that back in your circle?
Living totems?
I mean, any totems. Ours are living.
I still don't know if I want to give them that information.
You don't have to.
We had sources of power.
That's so cool.
what's the living totem? What's this one?
So, there's the plant one, which you know already, the Dawn Tree. And what I've heard is that the other one, the animal totem, it used to be the leader of our clan. I don't really know anything about her, though.
Hello.
Putting things together. Oh, how long ago was the leader of your clan the totem?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. What? This is before I was born, but the foothold of Immorta came, I think, 40 or 50 years ago and took over. They laid siege to the druid circle, and they built their camp here. And they did something with the elder, but I think she's still alive.
How do you know?
I think they need her power for something, but I don't know what. I'm not really sure where to start, but this is really risky. Maybe we can try and find allies here within the camp and try to figure out who is sympathetic towards the druids. It can be really hard to say because even people who used to be druids here, sometimes they've been completely won over by the teachings of Immorta. I was until not too long ago.
Were you doing any of that before we showed up? And maybe, you know, accidentally kidnapped you.
Any of what? Oh, trying to find allies? Well, I have one secret friend.
And he, like, looks over to the door, and he's a little nervous to be saying this out loud, but he determines that the guards' common tongue is probably not good enough and continues.
In the mines, I found a secret area once. They had finished mining the area and sealed it off, and I was doing a delivery there of equipment one day. I found a hidden chamber. I got really curious and I did some exploring. I found an old room that had a bunch of ancient golems in it. The golems were part of the old druid circle, but most of them were destroyed when the foothold of Immorta attacked. But I managed to find one. I call him Big Pebble. And he's my buddy. He's really cool, and he's the one that I've learned everything about druids from. Because you can't ask openly about that here. I've learned a lot. I've learned about the Elder. I learned how to do druidic magic from him. I learned what happened to my parents. So, Big Pebble can probably help us, but I don't think him by himself will be enough.
Well, how are we going to get to the mines? I can't leave here.
Well, Father Gortok has given me permission to give you a tour of the place, and the main obstacle is we're going to have to find a way to get rid of the guard at some point.
Can you speak Druidic?
Don't tell anybody, but yeah, a little bit. Big Babble has been teaching me.
Oh. Yeah, Big Babble.
And in return, I taught him how to speak Molish.
Oh. Yeah, it's too cute.
Okay. We can go on that tour, and maybe we can establish some Druidic code words.
Oh, good idea! But we still have to do it quietly, because if they hear us speaking Druidic and they recognize it, we could both get in trouble.
Okay, so maybe that's not a good idea?
Maybe not. Damn.
Just the thought of Tsutsutsu swearing at all.
No, it's not true. I just imagine him, like, really huff and, like, just... Like, so cute.
Oh, I've got an idea. In the dormitories, there's a bar. Maybe we can start our tour, and we'll go around counterclockwise and see the sights along the way, and then we'll take a break at the bar, and we'll get the guard super drunk, and then we'll continue the tour without him, and we'll go into the mines. How does that sound?
Are you legally able to drink?
Nope.
Okay, cool, let's do it.
I'll get juice.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna get the guard drunk.
Why am I not part of this adventure?
Alright, well, Tsutsutsu walks over to the door and turns back to you and says...
Are you ready to go, then?
I guess. I don't really have anything else planned today.
Awesome. Let's do it.
And he taps on the door. And it opens again, and the guard looks down at him, and Tsutsutsu says,
"We are ready to go on the tour."
Oh my god. Oh my word.
Poor guard, just trying to do his job. I give the guard a thumbs up, because we're friends.
And the guard smiles and says, yes, friends, yes, tour, let's go. Meanwhile...
Oh, God. Another meanwhile.
Tintsy, Zealous, yeah. Onyx, and the Gray Squirrel have been following this mysterious dark elf man.
With the sexy ankles. He's been... The
sexy ankles.
Where did the ankle thing come from? I forget.
Oh, when you did the fashion roll, it was noted that he had artfully exposed ankles.
Yeah. Ah, yes, okay.
You're, like, writing in your book, sexy ankles.
Pros. Go back and add that in.
She's making a pros and cons list right now.
Yeah, definitely.
I added dark elf got hot ankles to my notes.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Hell there we go. Yes.
But the dark elf, he leads you through the woods, and he leads you through the mist, occasionally stopping and doubling back, and you'll go back towards an area you were just in to find it completely different, and the forest all shuffled around. But he seems to have been in this forest long enough to know exactly what patterns to move in and where to go to get where he wants, even though the zigzagging that he's doing seems to make no sense whatsoever. This elven man, he hasn't really been able to communicate with you too much.
Tinsy tries. You know what? Tinsy's going to try to talk to him because she's going to just leave Zealous to coach her because she doesn't
want... So are you going to try and talk to him? Are you going to try to...
Tinsy goes up and walks beside him. Hi.
He looks kind of startled, like not normally addressed, and he takes a step back and he looks down at you. And
Tinsy puts her palm up and points at it.
He says again something you don't understand, but looking at his face, he seems puzzled and taken aback by you.
Put your hands up! Put your hands up!
He raises his hand and looks at it and, looks back at you. He's just sort of, holding it in front of his face, not sure what to do.
Am I tall enough to, reach up to his hand?
You can, jump and, try to reach for it. And as you do, he, slowly raises it down. Lowers it down to you.
I give him a thumbs up and I give him a high five. Hi!
He seems to be able to tell that this is a friendly gesture. But he, looks at his hand again as if he's, in disbelief that, anyone would touch him.
Do you know where we're going? Tinsy literally just gonna start keep talking.
Are you gonna do any?
Where are you taking us? Who are you? Where'd you come from? Have you been here for a while? And I start walking around. Oh, what are you wearing? You know, I wasn't even sure what you had on. Ooh, nice ankles though. My name's Tinsy. What's your name?
Are you doing any hand gestures to try and get your messages across at all?
No, I'm literally just walking around him, talking to him, and just skipping around.
He's responding in whatever language it is that he speaks, but he's sounding kind of desperate, as if he's trying to explain that he has no idea what you're saying.
Please, I don't understand.
I just imagine Zealous in the back watching all
Well, actually, I want to talk to Onyx. So.
Oh. Yeah.
Do I need to cast Speak with Animals? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I'll cast it.
You're going to have some secret gossip time with your cat?
Well, I want to ask, do you remember what happened back there in the, world that wasn't the world, but it was, and Lorelai's not Lorelai. You remember, right?
Yeah, I remember.
I forgot the voice. Onyx's voice is so good.
Did you recognize, do you know what they were talking about? Why they wanted us or anything?
Oh, you mean all the little friends around us? Those were fairies.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, all the little friends around us. They were fairies. We were in the Feywild.
But what about Lorelai that wasn't Lorelai? What was happening with that?
Oh, that was a fairy too. They were just playing with us.
How do you kill a fairy when they do that?
Oh, goodness.
You jump the gun, right? You're yes. I need to know anyone I meet how to murder.
Part of the storm don't kill fairies.
But they were trying to kill us.
No, they were playing. We were fine.
It wasn't fun?
Well, fairies, they sometimes don't really know how to play with mortals very well. But we were never in any real danger with them. The slug, yes, but not the fairies.
Okay.
Zealous is just exasperated. I feel like she's feeling like she's getting scolded almost. Don't hurt the fairy. Why are you trying to... I feel like she's just being okay. Oh, okay, fine.
But Daughter of the Storm, you do know that the Eternal Storm is a fairy, right?
And Tessa's having a moment.
No, I know nothing about the Eternal Storm.
Oh, gosh. I just sort of assumed because, you know, your name and all. Oh, wow. There's a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
I'm having to do all this lore reveal in ridiculous voices. I
love it. Onyx gets knocked on the head. Suddenly her voice changes.
Hello, I am Onyx. No.
It's so much easier.
Gosh, where to start? The World Spire was created by four Arcfae, and the Eternal Storm is one of them.
Okay. So what are the other three?
Okay, well, I mostly know the Eternal Storm, but there's the Heart of Orgalad. That one's farther down the spire. Mm-hmm. There's, the Spring of Life. And, oh goodness, what was the last one? The one all the way at the top. It was the Grand Snake.
Sorry, I'm like, holy shit.
Oh my god, y'all. Yeah.
What?
Pew pew, what? I can smite you.
Oh my god.
Okay. So tell me more about the Eternal Storm.
Well, I don't know everything, but when the rot started coming, the Eternal Storm, well, they didn't used to be the Eternal Storm. I don't know what they called themselves back then, but they became the Storm when...
And, like, Onyx has this, like, intense look of concentration on her face as she's, like, trying to recall the details. And, like, meanwhile, Tinsy's still just, like, walking in circles around this elf man and, like, badgering him with questions. Onyx is just thinking really hard, and she's just like,
okay, I got this. I've got to help the Daughter of the Storm however I can, even if it's with knowledge.
You're doing a great job.
I thought I would just be using my claws and my teeth. No, this is really hard.
You're doing great. It's okay. And I pat her on the head.
And she starts purring.
Okay, yeah, I got this. The Eternal Storm became the Eternal Storm because the rot was coming, and the Eternal Storm wanted to protect the world below from the rot, and I think it's only pretty recently that the rot managed to get through and managed to affect the world below the storm. I'm sorry, Daughter of the Storm, that's all I really know.
That's okay, don't worry, you did a great job. Tinsy, get back over here. Come here.
And then she looks up at the elfman. I'll be right back. And then she, like, pats his knee and she, like, trots back over to Zelis. Hi!
Okay, so, the people back there, you know, like, Lorelai, but not Lorelai, and everybody else in that weird dimension.
Yeah, weird.
They were fairies.
What? And Dizzy's eyes, like, gets bigger. Like, really?
But I don't know how to kill them yet. I'll figure that out, don't worry. What? But
I'm killing fairies? So I've never killed a fairy before. Are they mean? Well, I mean, they were kind of mean there. How do we find out how to kill fairies?
No.
I don't know. Onyx won't say
anything. Oh no, they're going to destabilize the fairy world.
But, so you know how there's the Eternal Storm?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of four Arc fairies.
Your mama was a fairy?
Does that mean I'm a fairy?
I mean, that's what daughter
is. Zila's a fairy?
Wait, are you a...
Oh, shit, I'm a fairy.
Are you a fairy? Oh, gosh, that explains your face.
Oh, my God, I'm a fairy.
You're a fairy? Whoa.
You know, I've never known what I was. I'm a fairy.
How does that feel?
Holy cow.
Can you fly? Do fairies fly?
Cool, but that's not the point. Anyway...
Oh, okay, so, okay, okay.
So there are three other fairies.
Uh-huh.
One is at the top.
I'm here, keep going.
What is that?
Top what?
What is that? At the top, there's the Fountain of Life, I think it was. And then the other one, what was the other one again? I was writing it down, but I
did the heart of...
So, Onyx said that there's the heart of Orgelad, the spring of life, and then at the very top of the spire, there's the great snake. Okay.
So there's, like, the great snake at the top of the spire. Then there's the
like, Feyreal?
I guess so. And then the heart of Orgelad.
I miss Feyreal.
And then...
Wait. What? Whoa, back up. What was that?
And then the other one is the heart of Orgelad.
Uh-huh. What?
Yeah. And then the spring of life. Those are spring the other three fairies. Yeah.
Wait, go back to this heart one, though.
it's the heart of Orgelad. That's all I know.
Did Onyx, and I turn over to Onyx because I know I can't understand her. Onyx, what's this heart of the Orgula?
Onyx looks up at Zelus and says,
you guys are talking about the heart of Orgelad, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
Yes, we are.
It's, I don't know. I've never met any of the fairies below the ocean, but... It's a good ways down. The fairy is the heart of the mountains. It's yep, that's all I know. I'm sorry.
So it's like down below, like she's never met the ones under the water. But basically
under the water.
But basically it's at the heart of the mountains.
I guess like that makes sense. It's the fairies at the words.
Yeah.
And the
yeah.
I wish Feyreal was here. I feel like she would understand a bit more.
Probably. Yeah. But she's probably just waiting for us to come back down the tree.
Oh, yeah.
She's probably going to be down there for a while.
She's probably fixing up her hair.
Probably.
Yeah.
In that really weird way. I don't know if I like
thought it was pretty. We're getting sidetracked.
I've never seen like that before.
Oh, well, I know. I haven't either. You know, we should really think about changing up our style, you know?
But I don't have hair.
I mean, we just found out you're a fairy. We don't know what you have.
True. Maybe I'll grow it at, like, a next birthday or something.
Oh, is that how it works?
But I don't know when my birthday is.
Oh, maybe it's tomorrow. Oh. That means we have to get to Feyreal, because you can't have a birthday without Feyreal.
True. You guys, yeah. Yeah.
The Dark Elf Man has, like started, like, building a fire, and it's just like sort of warming himself up next to it.
Hours have passed.
Oh my god.
I just realized Cindy's kind of dumb too now.
This elf man's gonna die.
But at least he'll have his sexy ankles exposed.
Yeah.
It'll be a wake, like a open casket wake, but like all the way open, so you can see the ankles exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Dinsy notices a fire and like, oh, are we resting now?
Yeah, I guess we should. Holy cow. I'm a fairy. Really? That's so cool. And she just walks off like, I'm a fairy.
Oh. And she just answered, where you go?
What? Side note, make sure she doesn't wander too far.
Yeah, no, she's not. She's just, like, wandering around the place. Like, she's not going too far.
Okay. I was just like, please don't get separated again.
No.
Speaking of which, while you guys camp, shall we get back to Feyreal?
Wait, what?
Wait, do I get a long rest?
Can you get a long rest?
Yeah, I think you guys can take a long rest. Especially Tinsy's getting really exhausted by this point.
Next time I see Feyreal, I'm just going to be like, I'm a fairy.
You're not even going to say hi. You're just going to be like...
You're going to be so disappointed.
You have scales and lots of sharp teeth. Say it. You're a fairy.
So, Tsutsutsu and Friend Guard lead you down a hall, down some stairs, and out into the same chapel that you had been in before, where you first saw Father Gortok. And they take you to the doors that you had escaped through and down the stairs, and you are in the main campus. And Tsutsutsu points over to the right and says,
okay, so first we're going to show you the exercise field.
You walk a short distance, and there's a great big, well-manicured, very flat field where some of the ex-druids and other people who live within the camp are playing sports or exercising or just doing recreation in general. In the center of the field, there's a man who's tall for a dwarf, still fairly short, who's sort of got a whistle and he's directing people. And Tsutsutsu says,
"Oh, try to avoid him seeing you, or else he's going to try and get you to play something over here. Just let's try and get past this field as stealthily as we can, okay?"
Okay, cool. Let's walk quicker. I'm going to shuffle behind the guard.
Okay. The guard isn't being stealthy, so you're both going to roll stealth with disadvantage.
Oh, we're rolling stealth now?
I believe in you, Feral. And
Feral's not athletic. Oh, it's a 5.
Uh-oh.
Okay, well, you and Tsutsutsu are, like, sort of tiptoeing past the field and, like, trying to obscure yourself behind a metal fence on the edge of the field, and all of a sudden, like, Tsutsutsu is so distracted by, like, looking over towards the field to make sure you're not being seen that he walks a little too fast and runs into you, and you trip over him, and you both sort of just roll over each other. He failed his stealth, too.
Okay, cool.
Oh, my God.
And you fall with a large clattering. Everyone in the field looks your way.
Oh.
And as you sort of, like, throw one arm up over the fence and pull yourself up, and the tall dwarf with the whistle is standing, like, right there.
I wave. Hey.
Well, hello there, newcomer. You must be the one staying up in Father Gortok's guest chambers, yes?
Small world, huh?
Yes, well, very interesting. You're from the surface, too. Rumors going around that you attacked the beast.
Real small world, huh?
Well, where are you guys off to in such a hurry?
Very important tour business. I'm to inspect all of the campus here.
Well, I'm sure you have a little time for a little game of rotball.
You know what? I don't think I do very well at rotball.
Oh, come along. You'll be great.
You know, I'd rather watch the pros do it.
And you see some people on the field, speaking of the pros, just sort of glaring at you. And you remember what Father Gortok says, that, like, some of the people in this campus seem to want your head for attacking the beast.
They all know.
Rumor is going around, but this coach guy is just like, come on.
And I really don't think that's a good idea.
And he's sort of like patting you on the back of the shoulder and like leading you around the fence and into the field, and Tsutsutsu's just like,
I knew this would happen. Why did I not watch where I was going?
Why did you bring me here first?
I said we were going to go around counterclockwise, and this is the first thing on the counterclockwise path, because I wanted to show you a bunch of stuff. So.
And, like, his voice is getting quieter as you're led away from the edge of the field, and you're placed in the middle of a circle of other dwarves who, almost all of them are giving you the stink eye, and
I kind of wave.
Okay. Now, you're new here, so it might take some time to get a real connection to the ball, but
and he holds up this ball, and it seems to you've seen some sports played on the surface, but you don't really recognize the make of this ball, but you do sense that it has a whole lot of rock concentrated inside of it.
Yeah, I figured it's called a rot ball.
He like places the rot ball down in front of you and says, "Go on, try giving it a tap and see what you can do with it." Some of the people in the circle are like snickering and elbowing each other.
Okay, I think I'm gonna try and kick it, but I'm gonna like purposely whiff.
Maybe, okay.
Like maybe pratfall. I'm gonna pretend that I'm a soccer player and I hurt my ankle.
Okay.
Cool.
Do you have any exposed skin on your foot?
No, I don't think so. I'm wearing shoes, right? Have we established this?
Yeah,
you have boots on, don't you?
Yeah, you're wearing, according to the album art from season one. But yeah, I think that your hands and face are pretty much the only exposed skin, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so.
Okay, so you go up and you're going to intentionally miss the ball?
Yeah, I really don't want to touch the ball. I don't want that to happen in front of everybody.
Okay, well, you go and you kick and you miss completely and roll performance to so that you can convince the people that it was a mistake.
So 17 plus 2.
Yeah, okay. Your foot goes within an inch of the ball, but you like let yourself sort of flop over onto your back and like
wow!
And the circle around you bursts out into laughter. Tutsutsu runs in and breaks through the circle.
You know, this tour, I was asked by, well, I volunteered, but Father Gortok wants me to show Feral here the whole campus right away, so we don't have time for rot ball.
The coach is still laughing, and he's, like, wiping a tear away from his eye, and he says, "That's quite all right. I think we got what we needed to see out of this." And the circle parts, and they let you go, and they're all sort of just still laughing at you amongst each other.
I think it's better that they're laughing and not trying to kill me, because I got rid of their ball.
So, you are led away from the laughing crowd, and friend guard sort of pats you on the shoulder and says,
Not worry, druid friend. Jock dwarves jerks.
Yeah, it's like that here too. Yeah.
Can we kidnap the guard?
And,
yeah, seriously.
As you pass by the exercise field, which takes several minutes to walk across, it is a very large field.
The entire time they're all laughing.
Yeah, the sound of the laughing disappears off into the distance eventually. And to your left, you see that statue of Queen Lithamorta. You follow the trail, and eventually you come along to a very tall spiked fence, which seems to be connected to, you would guess, a religious building of some kind. It looks much grander and much more opulent even than the building with the chapel you first went into. And Tsutsutsu points it out and says,
"So, that's the Temple of the Great Rebirth. That's where we do most of our religious ceremonies and that sort of thing. The chapel you were in before, that's in the administrative building. It's more for people coming in. The dais and the pews and everything, the whole shebang. It's all much, much bigger and more grand and exciting. We can go in and take a look. We probably should, too, or else our tour is not going to look very convincing."
Yeah, okay, let's go.
Alright, so you approach the door and you walk up the steps to this building, and you get a very, like, grand sense from this. It's pretty intimidating just walking through here. You see all sorts of sculptures of various different races that live within the surface of the spire, most of which look to be undead. And as you're approaching the building, you look to your right and you see a separate building that has bars in the window, and Tsutsutsu nods towards it and says,
"That's the detention center. If possible, we want to avoid being thrown in there."
Can I look at it?
Yeah, you look over towards it, and it's mostly hidden from the rest of the camp by that tall spiked fence. In contrast to the temple that it's attached to, it's a very bleak-looking building. Very gray, very hopeless.
Are there any windows?
There are some barred windows, yeah.
Can I see anyone in the windows?
Not from here.
Okay.
But you enter the Temple of the Great Rebirth, and the chapel here looks very similar to the one that was in the administrative building, but maybe five times the size. And on the far side, instead of there being another set of doors, there is the emblem that you had seen on all of the guards' armor and in various places. The same crystal-like emblem showing one large crystal at the top and then smaller crystals branching downwards. And you've pieced together that this emblem represents the rot coming down from the top and branching out across the world spire. But this huge version of the emblem on the far side of the room has just tons and tons of tendrils of rot coming out of it and snaking all across the walls. Mm-hmm. Whereas you hadn't seen any rot in the other chapel, there are tendrils all over the place. And Tsutsutsu says,
Try not to touch any of them. We don't want to cause a stir.
Right. I kind of wrap my arms around myself and try to walk real careful-like.
And so Tsutsutsu says loudly enough for the guard to hear,
"So this is the Temple of the Great Rebirth. It's a magnificent place of worship where we all come and venerate the great Lithimorta."
He's like, the guard can't see, but he's sort of rolling. Tsutsutsu is like rolling his eyes as he says this.
And anyway, you've seen it. Now let's move on to the dormitories.
Okay.
And getting you out of there as quickly as possible so that, like, nobody sees you demolishing any rot. Like, there are some worshippers within the chapel praying and that sort of thing, but you get out fairly quickly before any of them really notice you. They noticed Tsutsutsu being loud, but none of them have gotten a good look at you yet. You pass by the dormitories, and Tsutsutsu says,
"This is where most of us live. The good, obedient members of the Foothold of Amorta stay here, and the less obedient ones stay back in the detention center. The dormitories, they're nice enough. And my favorite part, oh, you know what? There's a great bar here. We should totally go. What do you think?"
Yeah, totally.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
"Hey, friend guard." And then I kind of make the drinking symbol, like, drinks.
And friend guard, like, smiles and nods, like, "Oh, yes, sir. Very, thirsty, yes."
Yeah, okay.
I love friend guard.
Yeah, friend guard is great.
I want to adopt friend guard.
So Tsutsutsu leads you into the dormitories and towards the bar. We will cut back to the other team now, who has just woken up from their rest. The elven man, you're not sure if he's slept at all, but he seems to have stayed. He seems to have kept watch while you two slept. But the elven man has just put out the fire and is getting ready to head out again for the day.
Okay.
"Hi, where are you going? How was your sleep? Did you sleep?"
He looks at you confused again and then, like, cautiously, like, raises his hand up and, like, lowers it down to you.
Tinty, like, gives him a good high five.
He still like, looks at his hand as if, like, this is the most bizarre thing he's ever experienced. But he sits down and he's trying his best to explain what's going on to you guys. He's doing sort of hand gestures, like trying to indicate something. He's sort of waving his hands back across the top of his head and then, like, moving them down, trying to indicate something.
"What's the soil like?"
"The soil?
What? The
soil?
Yeah.
It's pretty lush. Lots of vegetation here. What are you thinking?"
"Okay, never mind. I was going to say you could draw in the ground."
"Oh, actually, that's not a bad idea."
"Like, what he meant."
So, Zelus, are you going to, like, pick up a stick and try to draw something? Because he hasn't gotten the idea yet.
Yeah, I want to grab, like, a branch and then, like, start going in the ground and just being, like, drawing or something, you know, like, kind of show it to him and then go like this. Like, draw, like, a stick figure or something. Well, I don't know how to draw, but..."
He lights up a bit and takes another stick, and he begins drawing. And, let's see. Oh, what should I have you roll to try and interpret what he's drawing? I guess perception makes sense.
Perception?
Yeah, so both of you roll perception.
I got an 8.
Okay. Tinsu?
I got perception 19 plus... So
okay,
20.
Perfect.
Damn.
So, Zelus, you're looking at this drawing and, like, it seems pretty inscrutable to you. And then you're starting to wonder if he's, like, maybe trying to draw, like, a hot girl or something.
I literally go, like, "Oh, yeah. Lorelai."
And Tinsy, you immediately recognize the braid and the clothes that he's trying to draw as Feral.
Zelus!
Are you sure?
Yeah, look how pretty.
Yeah, but, like, okay, yeah, I thought it was Lorelai, but, you know, maybe not the hair, but, like,
it doesn't have glasses
though. Yeah, I guess so.
And she's just kind of a little lost in thought.
I'm sorry.
And, like, thinking about Lorelai, but, like, and then she just, like, shakes her head and, like, "Aww. Oh yeah, okay, he's talking about Feral." Okay.
And then, like, he looks at you and, like, He doesn't know Feral's name, but he sees that you guys seem to recognize what he's drawing, so he starts drawing something else. This one is a lot easier to recognize. It is the emblem of the Foothold of Emorta. And then he draws an arrow from Feral to there, and he pokes the stick at the emblem and says, "Sanctum impadit." Oh, wait, sorry, that was not his voice. "Sanctum impadit."
Oh, okay, there you go. Hello. Did he, like, looks over at Zelis? "I don't think Feral's waiting for us or fixing her hair."
Oh, why?
Tizzy just like looks at the drawing, looks at Zelis. I think he's telling us that Feral's in that weird place with the druid haters.
Like where where I threw like the spoiled milk and then we were like taken.
Yeah, with Papa Gorsh?
Oh, I didn't like him.
Wait, is she captured? Tinty wants to see, like, draw, like, bars and, like, a question mark to see if, is she a prisoner?
Yeah, the bars are easy to draw, so I'll make you roll for that.
Excellent.
He looks at that and looks at your inquisitive face, and he nods.
So, Zelis, how do you feel about burning down a bunch of places and people?
She gets a huge smile.
Will there be snacks?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. And, like, the smile is so big on her face. Like, she's, like, kind of jumping, like, let's go.
So, Tinty, like, points to the two of us and, like, points at the encampment. And, like, does, like, little walking gestures with her fingers. And then, and, like, points at it.
And the elder man, for the first time, smiles. And he nods and stands up and continues leading you guys. And he walks off into the forest, stopping before he goes into the mist and looks over his shoulder to make sure you guys are following.
Yeah. Definitely.
Zelis just looks at Tinsy like, wow, he's not my type, but I see it. He's wow. I see it. I understand.
You know who might like him? I bet you Feral. He'd be super cute.
Wait, wasn't she fixing her hair?
You guys could go on double dates.
Oh, what's a date?
Two people really like each other and they want to spend time with each other, but they want to do something outside of the house, they go places together.
So are we on a date?
No, it's only it's only between people that, you know, like each other, like you and Lorelai.
I'm not sure I understand.
That's okay. We can explain when Feral is here. Yeah. She can explain to you.
Totally. Her mom was the one doing the Kegels. She probably knows what it means.
I still don't get it either.
Are you guys following this whole time, or are you just standing there talking?
Yeah, this whole time we're following.
No, he's gone.
And meanwhile, 222 yells, "Another round!" And three drinks slide down the bar. What have you been drinking, Feral?
Ooh, I feel like Feral's... You know what? She's probably a mixed drink girl.
Yeah?
Yeah. So something in, like, a silly glass with, like, an orange peel twist in it.
Yeah, well, the drink that you receive is another one that you've had, like, three of now. It's delicious, whatever it is. It's made with a fruit you've never seen before. It's, like, all twisted up. And you did cast your magic to make sure that they weren't putting rot in it. And, in fact, they were, but you used your abilities to neutralize the rot in your glass and Sutsutsu's
glass. So I just stuck my fingers into every glass, like, hey, thanks, barkeep, and just, like, put my whole fist in there.
Yeah, roll for stealth.
Oh,
okay. Stealth to put your fist in your drink. Oh, yeah.
I just have the image of Feral just be like, just like throwing her fist in it and just like keeping eye contact with the bartender. Like,
I wanted it stirred, but I'll stir it myself.
I got my own stirrers right here. I got 10 of them. It's a 6 + 3, so that's a 9.
Okay. Well, people see you sticking your fingers in the drink, but they don't notice that you're neutralizing the rot. Like, people, you're getting funny looks anytime somebody comes by and sort of like whispers "tsutsutsu." He's just like,
yeah, no, I know, it's It's just a weird quirk they do on the surface. It's a friend thing. Stick your fingers in each other's drinks, you know?
I stick my finger in his drink.
And he, like, smiles at you. He's just like,
thank you. Thank you, surface druid.
Yeah, thumbs up.
And he sticks his finger in your drink.
I hate this thing that I've created.
I regret everything.
And like, some of the bar patrons are sort of like giving you stink eye, but like others seem to be interested in the surface world and they start like sticking their fingers in each other's drinks. But like the guard, who's with friend guard, he's been getting like very large like flagons of ale every time you order, whereas Tsutsutsu's just been getting like little glasses of juice.
little glasses of juice.
I'm not gonna try and slip anything in it. Do you want me to slip anything in it?
Wait, slip what in whose drinks?
You know, like the adult juice, the fun stuff in Tsutsutsu's.
Goodness, Pharaoh! I mean, Father Gortark is pretty evil, but that's no, don't. I'm underage.
Wow, Pharaoh! Wow.
Honestly.
But he's smiling though.
I'm a cool mom.
He's being bashful. That means he wants you to push a little bit more.
Oh, no.
And then he turns towards the camera and says,
"Don't drink if you're underage."
No, that's not him.
Yes.
But the guard is looking very drunk, and he says,
"Surface druid, you know fun."
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. You?
And he like squishes Tsutsutsu's cheeks.
You best friend.
And Tsutsutsu's just like,
oh, okay. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, drinks for best friends. Another round.
And like, you guys haven't even finished your current drinks, but three more drinks slide down.
Really efficient. I hope we tip them like really good.
And Tsutsutsu's just like,
oh, you don't have any money on you, do you? I have a bit, but we've ordered a lot of drinks.
Do I have money?
I believe you do have some money. From like ages ago.
I think
you got some from Merla, who was like performing music in
Stafford
J. Plateau.
Oh yeah.
Fucking like early season one callback.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, mermaids were pretty.
They were.
Tinty enjoyed it. Also, that is also where Tinty should never have taken that sample.
Yeah. sample. Oh, that was good times.
I got 21 gold.
21 gold? Oh, yeah. Tsutsutsu sees you pull out your money and says,
oh, wow, you've got gold pieces. Yeah, just a couple of those will cover us easy.
And as you put a couple down on the bar, the bartender walks over and looks at it, and his common tongue is pretty good. He just says, oh, wow, I've never seen coins like this. And he picks it up and looks at it. It's got the Messiah's crest on it. What he's calling the Messiah's crest, you know to be the Safarjoa royal family's crest. All of your money is minted with that. And he says, oh, this is neat. I'm not going to be giving this to anyone. This is going in my collection. Thanks.
Good. Hey, I'm glad I got some cool stuff going your way.
Yeah, you've really made quite a stir here in the bar, and really like gestures around where like everybody's twizzling their drinks with their fingers.
Oh, like, Pharaoh, what have you started?
I hope you washed your glasses real good here.
Don't you worry about that. Now, your friend there, and he like nods his head over towards the guard, who's just like flat out passed out on the bar at this point.
No. Oh no, friend guard. Oh god. No. Hey, Susu, we gotta go find someone to take friend guard home, huh?
Yeah, oh gosh. Oh boy, I really didn't see this coming. I thought he could hold his alcohol.
Oh dang.
Oh gee. Well,
the bartender says, oh well, don't worry, I'll take good care of him while you go find some help.
Thanks. You know what? I didn't realize you guys would be so hospitable down here. It's really good to see. Cool. Well, peace, I guess.
Well, we've got a bed in the back, so we'll put him down there. Take your time. He'll be fine. We'll take good care of him.
That's good. Good to know.
and you two are already headed towards the door.
Back to the door, yep. I kind of hope Frank Guard will be okay.
And Tsutsutsu, as soon as the door is closed behind you, he's just like, wow, that worked really easily, huh?
Yeah, like, really easily. Like, kind of embarrassingly easily.
Some people are walking by, and he says,
and now it's time to continue our tour. I can't wait to show you the mines.
Yes, let's go. And I'm walking in maybe not the straightest line, but I'm trying to hide it.
Nice.
Feral and Tsutsutsu approach the entrance to the mine, which is a huge, very impressive octagonal door with lots of mine cart tracks leading in and out, a bunch of workers bringing materials and tools in and out. And as you walk through, Tsutsutsu's waving and saying hello to some of the workers there. And when nobody's looking, the two of you branch off into another path of the mines and come to a door, which it looks as though this part of the mines has been sealed off. He moves aside a rock and you see a hole that's big enough for the two of you to crawl through. It's a bit of a tight fit for you, but you manage to get through this door, and eventually he leads you to a huge chamber filled with rubble. But meanwhile... meanwhile... The
whiplash.
I will grow to hate that word.
So eventually, the trees begin to grow farther and farther apart from one another, and the mist begins to thin. And as you round a corner past a gigantic gnarled root, you find yourself at the forest's edge, and you can see a great distance farther into the cavern than you were able to before. Though the sun tree forest seems to end around here, with only the odd golden tree shining off in the distance, the moon trees above continue to grow thick along the ceiling and all the way above this red metal wall with spiked battlements spanning out to the left and the right as far as the eyes can see. And you recognize this wall from when you were inside the re-education camp. The dark elf man leads you up a slope and towards the wall, and you're following the wall along to the right for a good while. And eventually he holds up his hand to stop you and points off into the distance. And you look and you see beneath one of the sun trees there's a small camp. And in the camp you see about three or four, it's hard to tell just from where you are right now, but three or four scouts from the foothold of Immorta. You will all need to roll stealth to get past this camp without being noticed.
Stealth is not Tutsu's strong. Oh, thank God.
Zealous is still wearing Tutsu's harness.
Oh, no.
Tutsu looks up with a big smile. It makes eye contact with Zealous.
Zealous nods. Go for it.
And I climb up.
The dark elf man sort of watches as, like, as Tinsy climbs up onto Zealous's back and straps herself in, and, like, you look all happy and giddy, and he shrugs and gets down and uses the foliage to sneak past. And so Zealous and dark elf man will roll their stealth.
Yes. So I got 14 plus 4, so 18.
You're close enough to hear their conversation, but it's all in Dwarven, so who knows what they're saying. And you all managed to slip past without being noticed.
Oh, yeah.
And
sweet.
Eventually you come to a point where the wall of the camp meets the wall of the cavern, and you see a bunch of foliage right around there. The dark elf man approaches it and begins to climb. So, Tinsy, you can either get out of the harness and roll stealth to climb yourself. It's not stealth. And roll strength athletics to climb yourself. Or Zealous will have to roll with disadvantage.
I will get off to roll myself. I will get off to climb myself.
Okay. But Onyx is pacing near the bottom, and She's just like, and she's not going to be able to climb.
I'll grab Onyx.
Okay. So
I'll put like Onyx over me.
Alright, so you'll still have to roll with it.
Or should Titsy.
So you'll still have to roll with disadvantage then to try and carry Onyx.
Okay. Don't forget you still have inspiration.
That's true too.
I used it last time.
Oh yeah, she did.
Didn't I? Feral still has inspiration.
Yeah, I still have it.
So the first one's a 17.
Oh, thank
20.
Gosh.
So 17. 17, sorry.
Okay, sweet.
So you said athletics? It's 17 plus 5.
Okay, so 22. So yeah, you're
both... Wait, I was doing strength.
Well, athletics is a strength check.
But my athletics is plus 4 instead of plus 1.
I mean, you succeeded either way.
Yeah, true.
She said, how well did you
succeed? So you sort of crouch down and Onyx like hops up and like puts her paws over your shoulders and you start climbing after the dark elf man and Titsy is right behind you. Before long, you're looking over the battlements and into the camp of the foothold of Immorta. And meanwhile, Feral, you approach one golem who has not fallen apart at the end of the hall. Tsutsutsu just sort of whistles and says something in Molish. It's just like... And slowly, this golem comes to life and looks towards you. Its big stony mouth curves into a smile as it says, Tsutsutsu. And we'll leave off here for tonight.
Yay!
So cute! God. My neck hurts from all the whiplash.
We're gonna need a good chiropractor.
I'm fantastically happy about Zealous being a fairy. I am excited to have met Feral's other half. And hopefully he loves me as much as I assume Feral loves me. But Tinsy misses Feral a lot because she doesn't know how to explain things to Zealous well, so she just wants Feral. Plus, Tinsy doesn't do well with people disappearing from her or not being near her or like stuff, so she's really like just she misses Feral. And Tsutsutsu.
I think Feral is low-key having, I don't know, just, I feel like she's doing well on the outside. She's using every technique that she learned at the Druidic Circle to combat the fight or flight or just be crumpled into a ball and cry that she probably wants to do right now, but the drinks helped.
Yeah, drinks do help. But don't forget the PSA.
Oh, yes, right. Drinks only help if you are of age. If you try to drink, it'll just make you disappear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you'll have more problems.
Yeah.
So.
Or less of them.
Unless you want to, which still don't do it.
Oh my god. Not knowing what she was for so long, and now she realizes that she's a fairy, I feel like she just feels complete, you know? Especially with the, like... encounter with the dragons and everything, you know, she was really questioning and almost scared to be like, what am I? Am I related to a dragon or anything? So now knowing that she's not is just incredibly comforting to her. But then, you know, Lorelai not being Lorelai, she got that moment, like a full circle moment of finally being by Lorelai's side and fighting by her side. And then for her to basically just turn into bubbles and with a creepy smile just like hurt her. But then she found out she was a fairy, so all's good. A very tall fairy, but a fairy nonetheless.
Thank you guys so much for playing.
Yay!